On the night of December 23rd, 1779, the most storied American naval battle of the Revolutionary War began. The 40-gun American Bowen Holm Richard, with her daring Commodore John Paul Jones, squared off against the 50-gun British Serapis of Captain Richard Pearson off Flamborough Head on the northeast coast of England. John Paul Jones had formed a reputation for himself as a most feared sailor upon the seas. Even the word that he might be around caused captains and sailors alike to shake upon the deck. He terrorized the apostate crown of Henry VIII with his naval raids on and off the English shore, proving a distraction to the British Navy to keep it off balance and provide time and energy for the revolution taking place in America to resolve so that those on the English home front might have more difficulty. The Battle of Flamborough Head raged on for a mere 3.5 hours, but fierce was it. Jones, knowing that he was outgunned, took the battle up close and personal, where he hoped to have a more speedy victory, for a prolonged bout would certainly not fare to his favor. The American vessel in the battle had a great difficulty as the Bulb and the Serapis collided, blasting away at each other, splinters flying, smoke covering the distance as the ships rocked and rode amidst the waves and wind. The American vessel got the worst of it, suffering heavy damage, taking on water, and it appeared that all was lost in a hopeless wreck. So the British Captain Pearson, a gentleman that he was, called out and offered surrender to the captain of his enemy vessel, saying, "Have you struck your colors? Do you wish now to call for quarters?" In other words, he is saying, "Will you give up now and accept defeat? Just lower your American flag." Indeed, the cause was hopeless. The vessel had clearly sustained critical damage. Only a fool or a man with a death wish would continue to suffer under such conditions. Why prolong the inevitable with a needless struggle and add to the countless loss of life? If Jones gave up, he himself could have a chance for good treatment, for officers would be well treated or ransomed back. He could have a good life after this and maybe live to fight in many other battles. In response to the enemy's call for surrender, Commodore Jones reportedly replied with immortal audacity, "I have not yet begun to fight." Despite the battered condition, the Americans would continue to fight and to fight on bravely under their Commodore Jones. The tide turned when a skillful valor of an unknown American sailor successfully lobbed a mere baseball-sized grenade through an open cannon hatch in the British ship. A historian, John Fairling, explained, "This is what happened. That grenade, it detonated, setting off a series of devastating explosions, igniting gunpowder keg to gunpowder keg, and the grenade touched off powder cartridges that littered the areas where the soot-faced gun crews worked." Shaken by the sudden reversal, Captain Pearson called for immediate quarter himself and ultimately surrendered to the gallant American. In a fitting tribute to Jones's bravery at the Battle of Flamborough Head, Benjamin Franklin, the American statesman, commented, "Few actions at sea have demonstrated such steady, cool, determined bravery." He was unwilling to give up the fight in the desperately bloody struggle, so Jones had indeed won a victory that solidified his place as the most celebrated American soldier of the Revolution. In fact, he's called the father of the American Navy. Jones knew and understood the price of this victory that was purchased by the bravery and blood of American men. He said, quote, "Humanity cannot but recoil from the prospect of such finished horror and lament that which should produce such fatal consequences." What was the result? Nearly half of the 600 men in battle at Flamborough Head died or were wounded that day in that 3.5 hour period. The Richard, the American ship, sustained heavy damage, so much so that it was soon after the battle forced to be abandoned at sea, and yet they emerged victorious. The battle has won, and the naval legend was born, and the audacious Captain Jones refused to give up, saying, "I have not yet begun to fight." So the question for you and I today should be posed a little differently. Dare we ask it, if you dare, have I yet begun to fight? Have you yet begun to enter into the fray in the spiritual battle already waging about you? Yestereve, amidst much pomp and circumstance, we buried the sacred A word. Septuagesima, this holy 7-day prelude to Easter, is now upon us, and the season of preparing for the great fast has now arrived. Has any of you been caught by surprise by the sudden change of events? We look down here below us, and we see here still the creche, the infant child, the mother most pure, St. Joseph, the just chaste spouse. The halls of our home are probably still decked with holly, and we await the purification and the enlightenment that comes at Candlemas, so our hearts are still yearning to remain within that Christmas joy. But the church, like a good mother, like a wise father, urges you and I forward. For there is a time for feast, but feast is only festive because of the fast, which comes the better part of the year. The gradual pullback of Septuagesima for you and I, then, is a grace. The church does not yank us from one extreme to another, tossing us to and fro like a ragdoll. She impels us with gradual tempering of bodies that our souls may finally and securely be set free. To prevent the shock of Lenten rigor, she gives us 30 days to gradually and progressively turn up the heat of the spiritual battle within our lives, little by little, progressively, step by step, to make ourselves ready for the purification that is to come. Our scripture today in 1 Corinthians 9:27 gives us our introduction to this feast of time, this time of fast. St. Paul says, "I beat my body into submission. I make it my slave." So are we doing this? Are we engaging in the battle? Have I yet begun to fight? Or are we floating along with the current? Do we aimlessly go where the greater winds blow? Have we capitulated and made ourselves backbenchers as the battle rages on before us, hoping someone else will win the battle and turn it to our stead? St. Paul reminds us of athletics in the epistle. He says, "Brethren, do you not know that those who run in a race, that all indeed run, but only one it is who gains the prize? So you run, therefore, so as to lay hold of that prize." He continues on to say, "And everyone in a contest abstains from all sorts of things. And they indeed receive a perishable crown, but we do so for an imperishable one." What sort of fasting are we preparing for? What sort of beating of our bodies are we ready to engage in? What sort of penance are we allowing ourselves to engage in that we might obtain the prize? Today, as you come to Mass on the Septuagesima, you may already feel beaten down and battered against the battle of sin which is waging all around you. You may feel that you're crushed under the weight of family or financial obligations. You may be your assignments, they feel like they're just too much for you, and you're too small, too weak to accomplish everything that's piled up upon your plate. The call of your vacation may seem insurmountable at present because you are unequally yoked. Not all of us are blessed to have come to conversion early on in our marriages, and so difficulty remains. The enemy of your human nature is taunting you today to look at your sorry state and rest your gaze on that alone. He calls out to you and says, "Your hull is breached, you're taking on water, and you're outgunned. Your stern is smashed, we have more men, reinforcements are just waiting off the coast. How can you stand against such a relentless force? Will you not give up now? Do you surrender? Strike your colors. Submit to my rule. I'll offer you parley and set you up now nicely. You won't have to fight much longer. Just lower the flag of Christ in your life. Allow the world, the flesh, the devil to come on board. Will you give in, or rather will you audaciously seek a legendary status like Captain John Paul Jones and say audaciously, 'I have not yet begun to fight'?" Realize this about John Paul Jones. He did all these things to attain an earthly crown. He was seeking only to build up a name for himself, to build a nation that one day will fall, to help an empire that even now we see all around us crumbling. In fact, he wasn't a Christian. He was a Mason. And so we know what end he likely went to. But what do? We do so for a heavenly crown, for a name that is above every other name, to build up a nation that stretches the universe and goes through all time. We do it to aid an empire that invisibly gains strength, even if visibly it seems dashed upon the rocks. Listen to the wisdom of the saints. St. Aloysius Gonzaga says, "It is better to be a child of God than to be king of the entire world." St. Alphonsus Liguori, the moral doctor of the church, says, "He who trusts in himself is lost, but he who trusts in God can indeed do all things." St. Catherine of Siena, she proclaims, "Start brave about everything, driving out darkness and spreading light as well. Do not look at your weakness, but realize that in Christ crucified, you can do everything." Blessed Charles de Foucauld, he said, "As soon as I believed that there was a God, I understood that I could do nothing else but to live for him. My religious vocation dates from the same moment as my faith. And it says forever, God is great. There is such a difference between God and everything that is not God." So before you and I, if it feels like everything is lost, that you haven't even begun to fight within the struggle, that it seems like there's so many things that are mounting up against you, the church presents you sacred time today Turn away from the feast and turn toward the fast. Allow yourself to engage within the fight that is already raging on all around you. If you hitch your boat to Christ, if you trust in Him, if you let His flag continue to fly high, no matter what sort of difficulty it seems, even if it seems that everything is at loss and the enemy is constantly calling you to let up and to let go, the one who is with Christ can do and can supersede, conquer all things. Just in the past few days, over a 24-hour period, two men told me two different stories. One spoke of his great struggle against habitual sin and how he was losing the battle since his youth. And then he heard a call towards something more and began all the more to engage within the battle in the confessional. And time after time, after battle after battle, after failure, going to confession, it seemed, multiple times a week. It was after a two-year struggle, constantly asking, what more can I do? How can I give more? I don't want to give up. And he proclaims and he says, Father, I've not lost the battle in a great period of time. It is all to the glory of His name because I just wouldn't give up. Again, another man came and said the exact opposite. I've fallen back. I'm in the midst of the battle. I'm struggling and failing more often than not. Would you but pray and intercede for me? Wherever you find yourself on the spectrum of such things, the answer is the same. Do not give up. Do not allow yourself to be overtaken in this time. This is the perfect time to press on forward. No matter what it seems and the outside is facing you, no matter how difficult it may sound, no matter how many times they call upon you to strike your flag, be boarded, and let things be easier. Allow the cross of Christ always to be held before you and to see that by His power you can overcome all these things. Let the darkness flee from you, for if Christ is on your side, then you have nothing yet to fear. Even amidst everything that's going about you, say as John Paul Jones did, as you fight for an unperishable crown, that not yet have I even begun to fight. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.